Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Wait a minute. This isn't America. And welcome to another un-American episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that put the ope in Pope. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Liz.
Hello, Liz.
Hi.
Liz is here.
You're not Danny.
No.
What's going on here?
Better looking, though.
Thrown down.
Okay, well.
He's not here to
Danny
fight
is not,
me.
Danny's not here. He's doing the acting thing. He's back in Minnesota. The rest of us... We're in Basel, yo.
Yeah.
Hey.
Been here for over 24 hours now.
Yeah.
It is lovely. This is a charming, charming little city, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Basel
is, yeah.
Slaps, my God.
Switzerland is not a real place.
No.
It's, yeah.
It's all an act. These people are actors. This is the Truman Show.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, it's a good show is what it is.
There you go.
Yes.
We just ate like kings and queens at a Portuguese restaurant. If you're listening and you're in Basel, like this is not a sponsor or anything, but Spark, the Portuguese concept.
Portuguese food concept.
Food concept. it's really good. And is yeah. worth your time.
Right near the central train station.
Get a reservation for the back patio, which is gorgeous. It was just really good. Shout out to them. They were great. Shout out to, I don't know.
Xavier.
Yeah. Xavier,
Server was great. Telepathic, used the wheelchair, led the X-Men, and really good taste in Portuguese food. It was just great. It was really, really good. Everything's been good and nice. Public transport is good here. I guess my question to lead off, this is just sort of we're in Basel and here's how things are going and here's the plan and all that. But my question, I guess, is from what we've seen in terms of like the city's embrace of the contest and things like that on a scale from Turin to Liverpool, if Turin's like a 1 and Liverpool's a 10, what are we seeing to this point?
For me, I'm seeing it as almost approaching Liverpudlian levels.
I would agree. Yeah, like 8.
I was thinking
9?
I don't know.
I mean, again, we've only been here for one full day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it an 8 as a placement score. I'm sure it'll go up later.
I was at like a 7 or 8. Yeah. I mean, there's there's your liver vision.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's whoever can drink the most. No, there's Eurovision Street where everything's cut off and there's buskers and stuff like that. Then there's a Eurovision Square. There's a Eurovision Village. There's a lot of stuff there. They seem to be like the city tourism board is giving out signage, like a friend of Eurovision to encourage people to come in to their extremely mid burger joint. we're not going to shout out that one. No. That one was...
You win some, you lose some.
It was all right. It was okay.
But the people have been friendly. It's been really, really lovely. And it's... Again, we've only been here a day, but these first impressions are really, really fabulous.
And it did not hurt. The weather today was immaculate either.
Oh my God, yeah.
Really gorgeous.
Low 70s, sunny.
Gorgeous. Apparently back home it's way warmer.
Yeah. I just want to jump on one thing you glossed over a little bit. They have busking stations set up around the city. I don't know what the rule is, but it seems like you can just get up on it and start playing music.
I mean, I did see at least one of those busking stations have like a name placard on it. So I don't know if there's a specific schedule for some of them, if some of them are open. I don't know.
But
there are people just out there.
Some, yeah.
Yeah, there was a dude just out there with his guitar and another dude with I don't even know the name of the drum that you kind of sit on. And
cajon.
Cajon, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Got big cajones, yes.
Big cajon.
Mm. Yeah, not one nice big cajon in that case.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that before.
No.
All the years I've done this. I don't know if they've ever done it before, but like actively encouraging small local artists to get up and perform for the crowds. Mm-hmm. And there were crowds.
Yeah. Very crowded.
Yeah. So I understand there was a fairly big soccer match. That's football to some of you at the stadium right next to where Eurovision is being held. And that was tonight. It sounds like so. We have a lot of foot traffic from that as well. I'm curious to see how crazy things are like 3 days from now.
Yeah. It was really interesting to see the number of, Basel. I don't know if it's Basel United or Basel FC or whatever the local team name is, mixed in, like people wearing that jersey mixed in with people wearing Eurovision regalia.
Mm.
It's sort of like, oh, look, the jocks and the theater kids are hanging out.
Yeah, the jocks and the nerds are going to have to duke it out. Yeah, the abbreviation seemed to be FCB, which to me...
Football Club of Basel.
But the thing is that abbreviation to me, I don't follow a ton of international soccer, but that's Barcelona. Mm. Like it's interesting to me that it's the... I mean, it's the same abbreviation. They have the same initials, and that's fine. But I saw the FCB stuff and was like, wow, they really like Barcelona here. And like, no, that's
Basel.
That's Basel. But yeah, apparently the team's pretty good and they were in the running
some championship
for,
tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look this up actually. And I'm happy to say, yeah, Swiss Super League, they beat Lugano 5-2.
Ooh, up yours, Lugano.
Yeah, ex Shaqiri. Oh man, that's a great name. Had a hat trick for Basel, so congratulations there. Yeah,
Shaqiri. I've definitely seen that name on I feel like Swiss World Cup teams.
Okay, sure. Yeah. It looks like okay, so this is like a Super League sort of thing. Four of the five Basel goals came after a red card.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
From one of their players, which is kind of surprising. Maybe Lugano just isn't good. I don't know. And let us know, Lugano fans, how angry are you at me right now? But it looks like Basel has a match scheduled for Wednesday against Lausanne, and that is... Oh, God, that's not here, is it?
That's not here.
No, it's in Lausanne.
It's in Lausanne.
Okay, so...
Oh, thank heavens.
Yeah, that would be really bad if they had a 40,000 people soccer match right as the... dress rehearsals were going on.
I mean, it's interesting that just the venue where Eurovision is going to be held this year, it is in the heart of like Basel's sporting core.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we are, like the press center is in the ice rink.
Yep.
The St. Jacob's Hall, where the actual show is going to be, is, you know, that's a sports arena. The overflow is in the big soccer arena.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around the campus, basically, where this is all located. There's a pool right there. There's, you know, it's a giant sports center.
Tons of soccer fields, which are actively being used for like youth practice and things like that. I had thought when I just looking at the map, when they kind of announced where everything would be, I thought, oh, well, there's the village.
But
because there's just a bunch of open field space there because of all of the like soccer pitches and stuff like that. No, that's not where the village is. And they're being used by youth football still, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Can we talk also for a second about, we are currently in the 12 Points from America corporate funhouse. And this is wild. I just want to say, Sam, this is a heck of a find.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say exactly where we are, but we're near the train station, very much near transit. Also, apparently near a Portuguese restaurant. But
triangulate as
we
will.
We are in a loft full of mannequins and other interesting art pieces.
I will say it scared the crap out of me when I came into the apartment for the first time because one of those mannequins happens to be on our balcony.
Yeah, just kind of staring at us.
Wearing a helmet.
Wearing a helmet. So I mean, they're like, oh my God, what the hell? Because I was alone. I was the first person to get here. Because the three of you all flew in on the same flight. I was a couple hours earlier.
Well, it doesn't help that this place is owned by a couple of eccentric artists.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's
fun.
I feel like it fits our vibe.
It fits our vibe. I wish there was more art. I'm kind of surprised it's a little sparse.
They might be, you know, in the midst of switching, you know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
They may have.
Yeah.
Or they have a dedicated studio elsewhere where they do classes and things.
Yeah.
That's too much information. Moving on.
Yeah. Also their names No, this place is super cool. It's a very good corporate funhouse for us, and we want to thank our patrons and listeners a lot for
helping us defray the cost of this.
It really does help. We're using some new equipment right now that came directly from funds from Patreon. So yeah. Oh, we never had Sam hit him with the socials. That's fine. Yeah. That's all right. You know where to find us. 12 Points USA at the things and some of the other things too. Yeah.
Yep. Or so, just email us directly.
Yeah.
12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We do love hearing from you, especially during this time of year.
Especially if you need to tell Eric that he's wrong about something.
Yep. I wore my Eric was wrong shirt today. I was approached once about who Eric was and why he was wrong. which is, and if you're new to the show, That's me. I'm Eric. What I was wrong about was I was 100% certain, I guaranteed that Yon Girls were going to win Junior in 2023, and then they didn't. They lost a friggin' French children factory.
But we got a cool t-shirt out of it.
So. Yeah, and if you want, you can go on a Redbubble, and you can get an Eric Was Wrong shirt, and then you can tell everyone else about how wrong I was.
That's right.
And my lovely fiance, who's sitting next to me here.
Hi,
Has a Eric Was Wrong button that she likes to wear, which is good. She'll probably
break it out sometimes.
Wear it at the wedding.
Doubtful.
Yeah, probably not.
It'll be integrated into your bouquet somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I could see that.
All right. So we should probably talk about Eurovision at some point.
That's the soccer game, right?
The Lausanne thing.
Yeah.
I thought the U.S. was hosting that.
For now. Who wouldn't want to come to America for a thing? Anyway, let's see. Eurovision.
There wasn't a ton going on today in terms of rehearsal. Today was really focused on the opening ceremony.
Yep.
The turquoise carpet or whatever.
Le carpet de turquoise.
Which is not flattering to people's skin tones.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's an eye-catching color, certainly. But it is not conducive to a lot of photography. We love
it really is
we
not.
Absolutely adore the EBU photographers.
We have some good friends on that team. We're not going to have them on the show this week, I can't imagine. I think hopefully soon we will get in touch with them, because I would love to have some of them on the show to talk about some of the photography and the challenges there and all that.
Some fantastic sartorial moments from the carpet, I think.
Yeah.
Some eye-catching ones, I have to say.
What was the favorite that stuck out to you?
I mean, I love anything that Albania does. The Greek, Klavdia, was wearing this gorgeous dress.
Yeah.
I am not, and this is not the Met Gala. I'm not a fashion correspondent by any stretch. I mean, Poland, my God, girl,
mm-hmm.
wearing this mm-hmm. bodycon to the extreme, molded, sculpted
torso piece.
Mm-hmm. piece. I'm like, Justina, get it. Seriously. Yeah. Good on you.
I'm going to shout out Marina Conte and Marco Bosniak, actually. Mm. Both had some things, basically speaking to what has happened recently in the UK mm-hmm. with trans rights and things like that. Marina wore a newspaper suit, essentially, but she had posted a close-up of one of them, and it's from the Daily Serve is the name of the newspaper, obviously. But it says Gender Under Fire. The subheadline says US, hey, that's us, and UK laws spark fear for trans community. So there have been some shout outs to what's going on there, which has been very frustrating.
I hate the fact that this is a thing that we need to even discuss, but mm-hmm. Mariana, good on you, girl.
Yeah, yes. Thank you to those artists for taking a moment.
Serving up those looks.
Yeah, serving
hard truths.
Serving care. Yeah, I like that they kind of did it as a parade throughout the city. They had the artists on trams at one point, mm-hmm. and it just gives so much more of the public an opportunity to see the artists and cheer and be a part of this. Yeah. Because, well, let's face it, these shows are hard to get into. They're expensive to get into, but there are thousands and thousands of people in this city and nearby that just want to take it in, and having an opportunity to do that with the artists involved is really cool. I will say I have not heard all positives about the turquoise carpet this year. Some of that has come from press, where access is weird this year, and we haven't really even seen the extent of that yet. We've been to the ice. The ice arena. The ice isn't there. It's just we get to set up where the ice would be, but we don't get to slide around, which is honestly
really disappointing.
Yeah.
Normally, the turquoise carpet is an event that is strictly press and performers. There's not a lot of access at all for the public to really see that, unless you're watching on YouTube or one of the streams, or you're seeing clips or photos after the fact. But like you said, I think it's just really nice. Came down on trams down the central thoroughfare in Basel, over the Rhine. Just basically a parade route where everyone could, you know, greet and engage. And I think that's a really nice and refreshing vibe for the contest.
Yeah.
I think it's nice that they separate it out in terms of like, here's something for the fans and the public. And then they have something for like the press specifically, where they can just like get in and ask questions and kind of get a little bit of interaction in that space. It sounds like it wasn't very well organized, which is strange because I've done the carpet a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I remember 2017 being really well organized. Like, you, each press group got like a section along the line, and they would just work their way down.
Turin was like that too.
Yeah. And they, it sounded like they just pressed everybody into a,
there was just a pen, a holding pen.
Paddock,
like a kennel.
That was the
I saw a photo of it and it looked really depressing. And I'm glad I didn't do it, because also, like, I just, and I found this out the first time I did press, was you kind of have to be aggressive, not mean, but like you kind of really have to kind of
throw an elbow or two.
To
hold your space.
Get to talk to people. And in that specific environment, I think I would have just had a panic attack and not talk to anyone.
Yeah, it takes a lot of, it's a lot of,
that
energy.
Is not the type of person I am. And I want to shout out Andy from Eurovox, who like took me under his wing. And now we're talking about Junior 2021, but but really kind of showed me Andy Carlisle. Shout out Eurovox. That's a really good group of people too. But how to like shoehorn in an interview, and how to like flag people down and actually get those conversations and things like that, because it can be tough, because everybody wants to talk to everybody. And I just like talking with you guys, which is why I have this podcast.
But yeah, it is going to be a smaller press cadre this year. I believe it's 1,000 members of the press that are accredited on site.
That's correct.
And that includes fan media, international media, domestic. Some folks only show up, you know, on the day of the semifinal or the final. And then I believe there's an additional maybe 500 more who have online press accreditation as well.
Yep.
It is a smaller presence than it has been in last year's. I'm not sure how much of that is, you know, the space that is available. You can only put so many people in a venue, or other decisions made higher up. But it is certainly, the contest has certainly changed since I started attending, when it was a massive, massive group of couple thousand, and the means that you need to go through to get these interviews has obviously changed a lot as well.
They're being very protective of the artists,
which I totally get and absolutely respect.
I think I already have a suspicion that like this year will be seen as sort of an overcorrection after what happened in Malmö, and that it will
swing back
a little bit. But I mean, this is a year where they're trying out some new things. There's a new guy, right? I mean, Martin's still like the executive director, but there's a new show. I forget the term they're using, but
yeah, it's showrunner.
The other Martin Green.
Yeah. Martin Green. Yeah. Who did a great interview with our pal GJ, who was in one of our preview shows. Check that out. I'll also shout out Ben Robertson, who put up an article about the decreased size of the press corps at these things. That is a very interesting read as well. And it made me very grateful to be here. And that somehow this stupid show got.
Well, the thing is, we don't just work on this stupid show.
That's true. That is true.
You know, it is a show that we absolutely love. It's given us a lot of opportunities, but we also do work for, you know, a couple of radio stations back in the U.S. We collaborate with other websites as well.
Mm-hmm. Like Insight.
Well, like, of course, Insight. It's, you know, I think one of the great things about the Eurovision Press Center is the fact that no individual person is an island. That, you know, maybe you may have certain, you know, cadres of countries coming together, but like, especially for us in the international media, you learn to depend on other folks, and you learn to make friends very, very quickly and network very, very much. And it's very easy to attempt to put people into boxes. Okay, you do radio and you do internet and you do podcasting, but we all kind of feed off of each other and lend skills to each other and provide support to each other, whether that's technical or moral. It's a really incredible community of people that I am so, so fortunate that this is my 13th Eurovision on site, not counting juniors.
That's crazy.
A timer when we walked into the press center today, and the timer was for how long it would take before Sam encountered someone that she knew, and it was 27 like 0.3 seconds.
Yep.
No lie.
It did not take long.
Nope.
It was our pal from the EBU. I'm actually not sure what her job is.
Claire?
The British lady.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Which is wild because there was like no one in the press center when we went there.
Yeah.
It's
still going to happen.
And that was not the only person we ran into within there that we knew.
Right. So. You see the same faces over and over again. It's people who, you know, come from places that, you know, this traveling circus, it brings an incredible cast of characters, people who we absolutely love very, very, very much.
Oh, yeah.
The game has changed a lot since I started doing this in 2011, but I wouldn't change this game for anything. I feel so, so fortunate to be able to come back here and to be able to share it with you guys and you at home, honestly. Thank you for being there with us.
If you have questions, you know, about certain happenings with the show, send us an email. We'll see what we can find out for you. If you know, if there's a story that you think isn't being told or something like that, we're happy to see what we can do. Before we wrap up today, I also just wanted to go over, we have now seen a rehearsal clip of every song. We have at least some video and audio from everything here. This is Sunday night. We will see the first dress rehearsal of Semi-1 tomorrow in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But for now, based on all of this very limited information, I want to know if there's anything that has really jumped out to you. Is there anything that you're suddenly concerned about, or just the reverse of that, that kind of grabbed your attention and you didn't expect it to?
I think we all kind of knew coming into this that Cyprus was going to be one to watch in terms of literally you needed to watch it. We knew that there was going to be some sort of surprise, some sort of really, really impactful staging that they were going to bring that wasn't going to be noticeable from their music video, but we knew something was coming around the bend. And it really, really seems like something could be coming around the bend from them. The bits and pieces that we have seen, the stills of Theo Evan and his backing dancers looking like Vitruvian Man. It is. And
I'm
so sick
of that pose. Like, I've called for a moratorium on doing that arm thing.
But there's a difference between people standing, you know, standing behind you and with your arms out versus hovering and doing the arms out.
They're hanging and they're stacked, but there's like a ring around them, so it's more fitting that image.
Yeah, so I'm really curious to see more than just 30 seconds of that.
Fine.
I don't know how that fits the song.
I'm curious to see how it all comes together.
We've only seen like 10 seconds of everything.
I think they gave us 30.
Was it 30? Seemed really short to me.
Yeah,
it's about 30.
It's about 30. Okay. Yeah. Plus the top and tail of the doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, this is
God.
In and out. Well, you're only seeing like early on in the song. Sometimes it's like from the beginning. So you're not, for most of them, you're just getting like a taste, but you're not getting like the finale or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Malta.
Yeah,
Malta was...
She got out the yoga balls.
Well, it was interesting because Malta, you noticed that the snippet that they used, she did not get to the chorus.
Mm.
I don't believe she, you know, came up to the whole serving. So we don't know how that's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of do.
There's no audience. We know this. But it's, again, 30 seconds. There is still a lot to play with and a lot to play for.
Mm-hmm. On a similar note, I'll note the clip from Austria contains no like high register operatic vocal. It's basically just the very beginning. So there are key elements of that one in particular that we just don't know yet.
Especially that techno break.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yes. That's the question with that one. And I think I'm certain it is very deliberate that they're keeping that close to the chest.
It's interesting that they're deliberately decolorizing it for that intro, because it's I think they're going to go black and white until that break, and then it's just going to
color
explode.
Explosion. Yeah. Sure.
Which sounds pretty cool.
There is definitely a lot of vibe. And I think this is interesting because it's not that different from the national final. I think we kind of knew what we were getting. But there seems to be hype building around Finland.
Yeah.
Her, just from what we've seen, she is a powerhouse. She is going to be hard to beat just in terms of presence. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan of Tattoo, but man, Loreen had presence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
Erica is a one-woman circus.
Yeah.
Wondering, one woman.
I was surprised she didn't have anyone on stage with her.
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it.
No.
It doesn't feel like it. Hmm. Yeah, the presence is just so massive that like you don't think about, gosh, I wish there were dancers or anything like that.
It just feels enough.
It just nailed.
And they frame her really well too. Yeah. I just want to point that out. It doesn't feel, I know there's been other years where they've had just a solo artist on stage and the stage seems to swallow them and they kind of disappear or they're so tiny, you lose them somehow.
Yeah.
And they frame her really well such that you can see her, moving, you can see her expression. You can get that energy from her. I mean, I think really works.
It's almost like we talked about the French entry last year where it was again, single person, but it creates this closeness and this intimacy that is really quite necessary for a song like this.
Yeah.
I mean, the vibe is obviously very,
intimacy
very deep.
On multiple levels.
Right, exactly.
I mean, but her personality and the song is singing as such that it is about her. It's not like, you know, this is about what she can get out of mm-hmm. out of...
It's nice that it's about the woman for a change.
Yeah.
Yes. Damn right it is. Yeah. Get it, girl.
Don't need any well-oiled men back behind her doing whatever.
No, no. It's just
a woman and her hovering microphone.
It would take away so much to like have men thrusting or whatever it ends up being, right? Like it just, it's not about that.
Speaking of which, we didn't also see her climb up on a giant microphone stand and rocket off into the stars like they did in the national final. So I don't know what's going to happen at the end of that one either.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I also want to note, this is just more of a general observation. I was skeptical of the giant ass proscenium arch halfway down the arena and how that gets incorporated into the stagings. But what we've seen of it, using it as sort of just framing the image of the performance and things like that, it's really cool. It's a really cool element, and people are taking advantage of it, which is good. I mean, it like, remember the sun like that was there, and then they realized it was a bad idea and wouldn't work, and it wouldn't work the way that they wanted, and a number of artists got kind of screwed by that. But this is static.
You can incorporate it into the whoosh. Am I remembering that correctly?
It's incorporated into the whoosh. It lights up with the flag colors.
Yeah.
As part of the whoosh.
Yeah, for people who don't understand what we talk about when we talk about the whoosh.
It's one of the best things, though.
Yeah, explain what is the whoosh?
So the whoosh is the, to put it in like theater terms, it's like the stage ready.
As you're watching the broadcast, that's when the country shows up and they say, Azerbaijan, whatever.
And all the lights kind of roll over across the screen.
Yeah, so that's the whoosh, is that there's the lights just kind of do a whoosh, right? Like I don't know how else to describe it.
There's a sound cue as well.
Yes, but like the start of the whoosh is like 10 seconds.
Less.
Or something like that. That's like
from the moment the postcard ends and we're back in the stadium, the lights are down, the name of the country comes up, the artist, the song, and the lights kind of move over, and then you're in it.
And then you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whoosh.
It's transitioning us back to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just looks really cool. And I'm just a whoosh stan. I'm sorry.
There's something just like, you know, if you think about like musical chills, there's something that just like, I think if you're a Eurovision fan, about the whoosh that just kind of gives you that, here we go.
It's almost ASMR-y.
There's a little bit,
there's more experience to it. It's not just the sound. It's what the sound
and the anticipation of the moment that's about to start.
Whoosh.
And it's sort of an equalizer too, because everybody gets it.
Yeah,
it level sets. It cleans the palate basically before the song starts.
And it's also a really fun way for countries to put their own personal stamp on it. Like last year, it was the opening note from Tattoo, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it was. That's right.
And I do believe that the whoosh that they used when Denmark hosted in 2014, I feel like they still use that whoosh sound at DMGP at their national final nowadays. That do 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 do. If you watch DMGP now, I feel like that came from when Denmark.
They have their own whoosh.
They've got their national
whoosh. Let us know your favorite whoosh for the thing. I will say I predicted during our final show that Azerbaijan was going to maybe be a tough sell, and I stand by that, I'm afraid to say.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Sorry, guys. No, I know. It's just it's a tough one to stage. I love that song so much, but it's going to be tough. Mm. That is also a country that really has suffered from the lack of juries in the semifinals.
Yeah. I like what I'm seeing visually from Latvia.
That looks so sick.
I think
it's beautiful.
A performance that's going to be really elevated by the staging.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be memorable.
Like when you go back to vote, the people will be like, oh yeah, that was really cool looking.
I think they're doing absolutely everything they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing left that they could do to elevate this.
13th in that semi in terms of odds to qualify according to the betting odds right now, which is insane.
I don't know.
These are two behind Ireland.
Which I'm fairly certain is not qualifying.
No. Yeah. No. No way. But it's surprisingly close in the odds to qualifying. It's... Some of these, I'm just looking at the bottom here. We're not going to talk about Semi 2 until like Wednesday afternoon, because that's when we actually see the performances and stuff. But these odds for who will qualify are insane.
Yeah.
Like some of these are not getting through. Like Serbia, maybe. Luxembourg, I don't know. That's one that just kind of...
Are you talking about Semi 2 still?
Yeah, yes. I know. It's the one I said we weren't going to talk about.
Hmm.
I'm glad to see Lithuania that high, but...
Well, switching to Semi-1.
Talking about Semi-1, so...
It's interesting, I think, kind of having followed the betting odds through the years, the record, I think, for how correct these are, they've never been 10 for 10, at least I don't think, maybe once, but usually it's around 8. There's like one or two that usually don't.
There's always a surprise, yeah.
And
always,
I don't think I don't think it's ever been like 6.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have daily shows this week. Monday, Wednesday will be reactions to the dress rehearsals. Those will be, Monday and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday will be reactions to the dress rehearsals. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday will be post-show reactions to the qualifiers and things like that. So tomorrow when we'll have seen these things in person and we'll make some predictions about who's getting through and who's not getting through.
Ooh. And it's also going to be the first time that we are going to be helping out with the audience poll after the jury. I can't really call them jury shows anymore. It's a force of habit.
Yeah. They're jury shows.
The full dress rehearsals. The evening preview shows. There we go.
The backup recording.
Yes, basically. So we'll be standing among a number of other fabulous folks from other websites, working together and getting the general pulse of the audience as they depart. What was their number one favorite of the evening? And that's going to be very telling as well. So
yeah.
I'm going to give ourselves a shout out on those exit polls really quick.
They're so much fun.
I had no idea the amount of pull, especially from the public, that the code was about to have until we did those polls. Yeah. Because I want to say it won the audience poll that night. And I was not expecting that at all. But it got to a point where, like, by the end of that week, it seemed more clear that Switzerland was going to win just based on how many people loved it in the arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the fun thing to see it unfold, too, is just that, you know, we watch it, you know, without a large audience. But I think once you get that full crowd in there and you start getting those opinions.
I'm excited, honestly, to see what the polls are going to say this year, because I feel like it's a little bit more up in the air and we're kind of just guessing who we think will win or who's going to qualify.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a little bit more opportunity for someone to sneak in than usual.
Yeah, does Sweden get as much support as some people think it has, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because a lot of the talk about Sweden winning is coming from the press or kind of that core fandom who tends to go for Sweden anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not calling anyone out. You like your kind of music and that's where it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, once we start talking to the public, is everyone going to be like, oh, Estonia, absolutely. And then we're going to get to Saturday and like, I mean, I want to go to Tallinn, but not like
oh
this.
My God, if that wins, that's going to be a game changer for what Eurovision is and stuff like that, if a song like that wins, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be back tomorrow with some Semi-1 predictions. But we just kind of wanted to check in for Malmö here. This kind of went all over the place.
Basel. We're in Basel. I know that. I know that.
What did I say?
You said Malmö.
Well, for God's sake, I did the reverse of this earlier today. We were talking to someone I met last year, and I said, yeah, we met briefly in Basel.
Congrats.
They're like, you're in Basel now. And I was like, yeah, and we just briefly met.
And then he just walked away.
Anyway, I'm in Malmö just mentally. That's not true. The vibes seem much better here, by the way.
Yeah.
Last year just got...
It
was heavy. You all know what was going on. And there's, you know, some of that's still going on. But the vibe really does seem better this year. I think people are a little more chill and it's good.
Honestly, just the joy of this new host city that, I mean, none of us have been to Switzerland on a Eurovision experience.
They're not taking it for granted.
They're not taking this for
granted. No, definitely not.
It might be another 40 years before they, you know,
win again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But honestly, with the experiences that we've had over the past 24 to 36 hours, I hope they keep winning.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't even left and I want to go back.
Maybe like 5 years.
Yeah. Let's just save up again.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Save up. Let my bank account balance just recover.
Yeah, let Sweden host a couple more times and then.
Jesus Christ, can we not?
Shall we catch up? Let's catch up on some sleep, and we will catch up with you, fabulous listeners, tomorrow. Again, find us on all the standard social media outlets, 12pointsUSA. We'd love to hear from you. Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you see us in person here in Basel, let us know. Say hi. If you
recognize
us, we may have some swag on us.
We got swag.
Just thank you. Thank you all for listening and joining us and being a part of this crazy experience. We really do appreciate it. Be kind. And until then, until tomorrow, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Liz.
And America and Basel.
Stop listening now.
And Lumo, if you're out there, I'm coming for you.
Check under your bed for Lumo tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out for them. Yeah.